You get close enough when he's holding you, you can almost hear the heartbeat. I'm going to read something from the devotional, A Closer Look at the Evidence, that Dave has handed out, which is an excellent devotional. A small patch of tissue called the sinus node causes the heart to beat. It's referred to as a pacemaker tissue. It sends electric currents every 0.8 seconds to certain nerve fibers in the heart muscle to stimulate its contractions and send blood flowing up to 10 miles per hour throughout the body. The blood moves through the body, supplying oxygen to every cell, and then returns to the heart. From there, it's pumped to the lungs and reoxygenated and sent back through the body. If it isn't functioning, God put a couple backup generators in there. And I was thinking about that when I was thinking about one of the great verses in the Song of Solomon. In the Song of Solomon, the bridegroom says, and this is in the New American Standard, this is the version that I study more, says, "You have made my heart beat faster." I love that. You know what that means? When you come into the presence of one in whom you delight, I would assume that means husbands and wives, I hope, your heart beats faster. You can tell there's a difference because you have a love and you have a passion for that other individual. God's heart beats for us. The actual wording in your Bible, the New American Standard, or the New International Version, says that you have stolen my heart. Give it back. You have stolen it. My view of that is it means my breath is taken away at the presence of God, and his breath is taken away at us. Did you know that we literally took Jesus' breath away when he died for us? He gave up his spirit. His breath left, all because of his extraordinary love for each one of us. And so we're going to sing about that love. A great song. It's one of the old songs, but it's still a good one. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's sing.
Tells of one whose loving heart can feel. because he first loved me.
The grace notes are going to come up, and they are going to sing.
The Lord blessed us to be here this Sunday morning. It wasn't quite what we had planned, but I thought, why not get the group together and sing The Mighty Power of God.
Earth and heaven praise him, God.
I thought it was interesting that we had the red ones over on this side and the white ones over here. Those were Orville's colors, the red for the blood of Jesus and white for the purity. So we're carrying on that. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you. Sing the almighty power of God. Okay. 1 Samuel. God's heart in three parts. As I mentioned before, God reveals himself through nature, and we can learn a lot about who he is by what he has created, because it's meant as a reflection pool, really. God's heart. Did you know it was three-dimensional? It's not just one level. I'm not going to have you stand for the word yet until we get to the communion, because this is just one verse. 1 Samuel 13 and the 14th verse. He's talking about King Saul. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command. You remember God's dilemma? He was the sovereign, and the people had an election day and decided to vote him out. That's what happened back then. And God put a king. That's what they wanted. And this man, as the scripture records, he had been removed because the scripture was talking about the people were scattering and Saul was getting impatient because he didn't hear the word of the prophet. He didn't know what was supposed to happen. And so he went ahead and he anointed and made a burnt offering, which he was not supposed to do. He stepped in a role that was not his place, all because he didn't wait for what God was going to do. I can guarantee you, the worst thing we can do is go ahead of God. I can guarantee you that. And I can also guarantee you that when we wait for him, he can make it right in like 2 seconds flat. He can restore the years the locust has eaten away. God rejected him because of that. And he sought instead for one who had God's heart in his. This portion, as so many are, is talking about Yahweh when it's talking about God, the covenant name of God himself to his people. Always pay attention to that when you're reading scripture. This is talking about Yahweh, saying that Yahweh is seeking such a person who has his heart. Who has his heart. We're always saying, Lord, don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you know what I'm feeling? Which he does. God's looking for people that care what he thinks, that are concerned with what concerns him. That's what he's looking for. By the way, it can be man or woman, just so you know. In this case, it would ultimately be David. The Bible says he's looking for somebody with his heart. The word heart in the Hebrew is lebab. And I like in the word, when you pronounce it out, it has the word lay, L-A-Y. That's the way you pronounce it. And it means the inner man, the mind, the will, and the heart of the individual. See, in our body, as 1 Thessalonians talks about, we have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body, right? God is a spirit in his general nature. So he doesn't need a spirit and a soul. They're all connected. Who he is his mind, his will, his deep intent, his heart for us. That's who he is, and he presented himself in human form through Jesus Christ. So it's talking here about the innermost feeling and determination of God himself. And he's looking for those who will lay down their lives and seek his heart. That's what he really wants. The Hebrew word for seek, bakash, means seek to find. Do you remember the manhunt, or the boy hunt, I guess, that went on back in October, so many years, over 20 years ago, for Jacob Wetterling? I still look to see if he's somewhere, if he looks like who he would be today. Why? Because until you find it, you're still searching for it. If you haven't found it, that's why people are seeking out in the world. If you're still seeking spiritually, seeking for purpose in life, you couldn't have found Jesus because he would satisfy your soul. I can guarantee you that too. You search until you find, and when you find, then you grow in it. That is what the scripture talks about. So, as another reflection of the nature of the Creator, the human heart reminds us of the triune God. I love this. The human heart is enclosed in a sac called the pericardium, which protects, anchors it, surrounds its structure, prevents the overfilling of the heart with blood. And this outer wall has three layers. One, the outer is the epicardium, where the pericardial fluid lubricates motion between the different layers. And then there's the middle layer, which is the myocardium. This is the muscle itself, the heart muscle. When they tell you somebody's had an MI, myocardial infarction, it means a heart attack. It means the middle part of that layer of the muscle. Then the outer layer is called the endocardium. And that's in contact with the blood flow in your system. I had it put up here just so you'd have it. Who is the outside layer? The Holy Spirit. It's his ointment, it's his oil that lubricates and keeps us so we can hold close to the holiness of God. You can't do it on your own, and neither can I. The oil of gladness is what keeps us, keeps it smooth, keeps it moving, protects us from the outside world. The Holy Spirit's presence in this world is the only thing keeping the church and the people of God alive. Because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, the enemy would have ripped us up, tearing us out a long time ago. We're under protection. The middle man, the middle layer is the middle man on the cross, Jesus Christ. He is the muscle of our faith, isn't he? He is the one who did the work. A muscle has to work in order to be strong. He did the work. He is the physicality of the Godhead to us. And how grateful we are. The inner layer is the Father, the one who receives the blood, receives the sacrifice, receives the offering, and that blood flows up to his presence, where it is accepted. And he is the provider for our life and being. God is looking for those who have his heart. God is looking for those he's got his fingerprint on. And you know it when it's there. Ultimately, in this story, as it goes along, it will be David. King David is the man after God's own heart. Not a perfect man, but a man who sought God. And his name means beloved. So I can guarantee you, God is looking for beloveds. That's what he's looking for. And he knows where to find them. How many are glad God is not one-dimensional? How many are glad we can learn so much about him from his creation, from our bodies, from the things that he has brought? That's why we study. That's why we're curious. We're not curious so we can find an answer in the star. We're looking beyond the star to the creator of the stars. That's who's guiding our life. He better be. If you're letting the stars guide your life, let me know, because we'll be praying. You want the bright morning star to be guiding your life. No question about it. So we're going to sing one of the great hymns in the church, The Love of God.
All the
Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you show us your heart every day. You show us your brilliance. You show us, Lord, the variety in this creation. Lord, that you're not making us to be like each other. You're making us to be like you. We are to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, today that you would show each one. Lord, you're not looking for anything other than our heart, because where our heart is, that is where everything else will be. That's what controls our lives. May our hearts be yours, much as you gave yours for us when the puncture wound went into the heart and the sac around the heart, and it destroyed the covering and the protection. And you did it for each one of us. And I pray now, Lord, as we celebrate communion, the table of your blessing and of your great gift, that you would honor it, that you would be exalted. And Lord, that we would give our heart to the one who gave it to us in the first place, God himself. Be honored, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I am going to ask you to stand, if you can. Okay. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul is writing. Thank you. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You may be seated. Let's take a few moments, as the Bible says in the other portion, to examine our hearts, examine that place that God has given us for him to dwell. Say, "Lord, is there anything in my heart that I need to bring before you?" And then do it, and then we will partake. May the servers come up, please.